Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And that's not what I'm seeing now. I'm seeing highs of 94, 91, 91, 92, 93. And Monday's the first official day of fall, the autumnal equinox, but it's not going to feel like fall, at least all the way through, not 2 days from now, but the following Saturday, maybe in October. There have been a rash of car burglaries in different areas of the city, and it seems as though now Gentile's turn came up. Peter Scharf joins us, adjunct professor at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health. And it's almost like the Seinfeld episode, Peter, of where they said you kept making the stops, and Kramer says they kept ringing the bell. And it's kind of like that, where, you know, you're talking about car burglaries again. Yeah, because they're still happening. Is it moving around from areas of the city to areas of the city? And is it different people that are doing this?
Oh, those are two great questions. They really are. And this is a major topic. One, you know, there used to be what we call the cycle, where there was a column that went through the city from the 6th District all the way to the 9th Ward, where crime occurred. Now that's moved around. And areas that were relatively safe now have intensive crime, and areas that were safe, had high crime, now are relatively safe. So crime moves around. It moves around because of opportunity and neighborhood vigilance. One thing was interesting in the story about the car burglary was the former fireman, the former police officer, who were kind of neighborhood, self-appointed neighborhood watch. Mm-hmm. And over time, that's a major insulator. Now, they're going to call the police, their friends in the police department. And so that can be an inhibitor, and they'll move somewhere else. It's an opportunity deal, as you and I have discussed. The second thing is the Pareto principle. And what the Pareto principle means...
Say that slowly, Peter. Say it slowly.
Pareto.
The what?
The Pareto principle, the great Italian mathematician.
Right.
And what he says is a few people can cause a lot of damage. The entire Battle of the Bulge was fought by three or four companies. You know, so the tip of the spear, a very few number of people can create a lot of havoc or a lot of good. And in this case, you can have one criminal in a white car who's bashing in windows, and you think there's a crime wave, and it's one or two people. And this is the nightmare for Sean Ferguson, Paul Noel, and all the folks at NLPD. Knowing that, how do you find that needle in the haystack, that one person that's creating this damage? And here's a great emerging neighborhood, Gentile, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think, oh, my God, the neighbor's going to pot. It's one individual. So the police department has to use its intelligence-led policing capacity and identify, in this case, as with violent crime, that one individual and put them out of circulation for a while.
I think it was the 90s when people stopped paying attention to car alarms, wasn't it, Peter? And I just wonder,
yep,
as it relates to car alarms bashing in windows, I don't know how much noise it makes to break into a car, but yeah, have these cretins found a way to do it almost silently without alerting anybody?
Well, criminals get really good at what they do. You know, I found this in my serial killer chaser career, you know, that if you don't catch them early, they get really good at it, get much more sophisticated. The same thing is with this kind of individual. You harden the target and they learn how to evade it. It's called, in the intelligence business, it's called the intelligent opponent. So criminals are the intelligent component. So no matter how the auto manufacturers put radios into the hard wiring of the car or the alarm systems, a good burglar will find a way to evade it. And this is the problem. The other thing we're dealing with is you know, under the former administration, we reduced our number of police officers on the street, and we're doing a little better. But you still have minimal coverage in most neighborhoods. So the chance of a police car coming by while somebody's bashing a car is virtually zero.
Let me take a break. Peter, we'll pick it up here. We'll come back. Didn't mean to interrupt you, but we got to look at traffic. And when we come back, in terms of limited police patrols, do they monitor these things, the bad guys? Do you know, like they tell you, don't take the same way home from work each and every day because, you know, you could be a target for something. I just wonder if the police change the patrol routes and if with any degree of predictability, the people that are breaking, these criminals that are breaking into cars would know when is a good time and when is not. If you have any questions about this or comments for Peter Scharf, you can text them to 87870. I'll pass them along. Peter Scharf, adjunct professor at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health. Right now it's time for WWL Traffic. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about vehicle burglaries. This time in Gentilly, Peter Scharf, our guest, adjunct professor at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health. And we talk to him every time the area shifts as it relates to car burglaries. Peter, I asked you before the break, and I'm certainly not trying to encourage any burglars, so we're not going to talk about times, areas, or anything. But generally speaking, do police patrols, are they pretty consistent about where they go? Or do they vary day by day? And is there any way the bad guys, much like casing a store or anything, could figure out the ideal time, the optimum time to break into a car with the least chance of getting caught?
Tommy, you asked the only question I know the answer to.
You do or you don't?
I do know it, yeah. Oh, the only scientific study in our field, it was called the Kansas City Patrol Experiment. And it dealt with, and I was at the Police Foundation in D.C. when we did it. And we had three conditions, randomized patrol, fixed patrols. We just advertised when the patrol cars would come, and then responsive patrol. You know what the answer was from the only, and this is like a clinical trial in medicine. There was no difference.
Really?
So the actual, we were all surprised too. $30 million study. And we actually, you know, didn't know the answer. But at the end, it doesn't seem like patrol strategy matters. Now, the other question, which you raised very perceptively, do the criminals know what the police can do before they do it? Yes. You know, and the good ones know, you know, there are all kinds of ways they can know. They can just track it, or they can have a friend of a friend who tells them, but they're very observant about where the police are or where the police are not. And that's where, you know, the new doctrine, I think, is good that we're trying to pursue with NLPD, or they're trying to pursue, and that is really focused on intelligence-led policing and develop a computer model and try and identify the particular targets who are going to be targeting particular crimes. And I know there are all kinds of issues of profiling, but that seems to be the more efficient way to go than to hope that the patrol car comes when somebody's bashing a car.
All right, I might be assuming. I'm sorry, Peter, go ahead.
No, go for it. No,
I was going to say, I might be assuming, and you know what happens when you do that, but if it made no difference whether it was a response call, a varied route, or a consistent route, right? Is that what you determined?
Right.
So
exactly.
does that lend itself more? That would make me think that would point toward crimes of opportunity and not a lot of planning.
Well, some of that. Well, that's true too. I mean, that's a factor. But I think also that, you know, patrol is not an effective way to interdict crime. You say, what does the police do? The police do that stops crime. The weirdest thing is what's called an on view arrest, where you actually see something happen. You jump out of your car, you hook and book the guy and bring him to the station. Better get the snitches, tell you who's doing it, wake them up in the morning, arrest them, or be vigilant on wants and warrants. So you stop a car and you say, oh my God, he's wanted for 8 different things, and bring him in. And that seems to work a lot better. The other thing is the sort of targeted intervention, is we know who we're looking for. and get that person. In the violent crime area, they've got a sort of shotgun, or in this case, they've got a crowbar. You know in advance who you're looking for. Now, this politically is a nightmare for many administrations, including this one, because all the issues of profiling, including racial profiling, are here. So the question is, how do you develop targeted interventions based on data? And Paul Noel, the chief, is, developed some really good. One reason the murder rate's down is they went from the broader strategy, community policing and randomized patrol, to targeted intervention. So they know in advance who they're looking for. But this, and the mayor's plan, as we discussed about 2 months ago, is a very, and I discussed with Newell Normand, is a very difficult political issue. How do you engage in targeted intervention and not get into any kind of form of racial profiling?
So many questions. We got a break now. News, 8:30, Tommy Tucker, David Cohen now, or as he's otherwise known, Dave Cohen, with WWL First News.
Thank you, Josh. I'm Dave Cohen. Let's get back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Do you know what today is, Dave?
Thursday.
What else?
Friday Eve.
What else?
National Pirate Day.
What else?
You got me.
Oh, somebody texted this in. At 9:19, it will be 9:19 on 9/19/19.
That's a lot of nines and 19s.
You know what that means?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
What else is today?
Today is Saints Thursday on WWL. Flagship station of your New Orleans Saints. You know what that means? I'm going to tell you, Newell Normand.
Just tell me.
I'm going to get you off the hook. Newell Normand's going to give away a Saints game experience you're going to want to win. Listen to this, Dave. This may be worth quitting your job so you can win.
Because I can't win if I work here.
Exactly. I would consult with Ms. Cohen first.
If I quit today, can I win today?
Yes, but I would still consult with Mrs. Cohen first. Every Thursday from now till December 12th, except Thanksgiving Day, you can win a pair of Saints home game tickets. Sounds pretty good, right?
I'd like a pair of Saints home
game. You want to sign off on it right now?
Quitting?
No, on the that contest, Saints home game tickets. You good? Take your prize and go?
No, well, I work here. I can't.
Well, I'm just saying don't do it because there's a lot more.
Oh.
You see what I mean?
Yes, okay.
We're negotiating here.
I want more.
You're going to get more, by gosh. Pair of tickets, a Bullseye Event Group Saints VIP tailgate experience in Benson Tower. You know what you get?
What?
I'm going to tell you. 3 hours before kickoff of the Saints home game, all you can eat and drink, premium open bar, and delicious buffet from the Food Network celebrity chef Aaron May.
Really?
You think it's pretty good, right? Wait, we're not done.
I want more.
Well, you're going to get more. In an air-conditioned lounge that overlooks Champion Square. Just steps away from the Superdome, so don't miss your chance to win tickets to the Saints-Cowboys game, plus all the fixins. Easy. Tickets to the Saints
give
VIP.
Me some fickins.
Yeah. I can't get enough fickins. Tickets to the Saints VIP tailgate experience. Tune in Newell Normand today between 10 and 1. Bobby Hebert is going to give you a big hoodat number to call in. If you are caller 8, you'll be hoodatting with the rest of the nation. Listen and win with Newell and WWL. Quick question, Dave. If you were
it's
to
worth it for the fickins alone.
I'm yeah, if you were to decide to quit your job, would you call Mrs. Cohen and talk about it with her first?
Unless I wanted to not only quit my job, but quit my marriage.
Find
yes.
a new place to live. All right, more with Peter Scharf when we come back as we can continue to discuss car burglaries in New Orleans. Tommy Tucker, Dave Cohen, Tim in Master Control, and you all together on this Friday Eve, Saints Thursday, 9/19/19. Be back, WWL. 8:45, quarter till 9. Car burglaries have been a problem in the city, and they seem to move from neighborhood to neighborhood. Peter Scharf, our guest, our friend, adjunct professor at the LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health. Peter, you and I know each other, what, 20 years now?
Yep. It's been great. You're wonderful.
Well,
I want to take something that we talked about last week. I was up in South Carolina at the University of South Carolina, and I met somebody, Jeff Alpert, I'll say his name, was on the consent decree. The outsiders are in awe of the crime miracle in New Orleans. you know, we've cut our murders by 30% this year. Something we talked about, you know, the fact we're talking about car burglaries, that's a win.
That is a great point, and you made it last week. The fact that we are talking about car burglaries and not murders is actually a positive.
Right, and one other piece that I didn't mention, we didn't discuss last week, that a murder costs about $1 million in lost wages, child care support, parenting support, everything else. If a kid is wounded, lifelong injuries is $6 million. You can buy a lot of radios or cell phones for one murder, you know. And so the economic costs, we were going bankrupt based on health care, though they were afraid between Social Security, Medicaid, a bunch of areas. So there were hidden costs. But we were going bankrupt because of the kids who were wounded and crippled. This is something we're working with UMC on. What, you know, these kids you see on wheelchairs or with neurological injuries from gunshots, that was an absolute economic disaster. The car burglaries are an economic disaster, but God created insurance companies for a reason, right? And, you know, and many of these are recoverable. A kid with a brain injury who's left paralyzed for life, that's not in the same way recoverable.
The only thing I would ask, Peter, is you got to draw a distinction there if you are talking about a gun being in a car, because that could lead to everything that you just spoke about.
Absolutely right. And the secondary gun market is the elephant in the room. Absolutely right. You know, but this issue of – now, the other thing I thought about during the break was – okay, what is our strategy? Can you prevent this guy who's a serial car break-in guy? No. You know, is it something that happened in childhood? Almost we don't care. You know, it's too late for that. You know, and again, patrol isn't the answer. Is it the sort of target intervention? Is it community hardening support? What really is the strategy that could avoid the car burglaries? And that's where I think we need community dialogue and police dialogue to figure this one out, because it's probably not a patrol problem.
Let me jump in here, Peter, with a text that somebody sent in, Pat in the View. As a matter of fact, Tommy, the criminals don't care about patrols. Several thugs who routinely, I get it out, commit liquor robberies at the drugstores in Lakeview, in the middle of the day with a line of people waiting to check out. If they get caught, they're out in no time to commit more crime. It's better than actually getting a job. What would your response to that be?
Well, you know, getting caught by a randomized patrol is like getting hit by lightning, you know, basically.
No,
you know,
really?
Well, I mean, you know, the chances of somebody coming on an event, a particular criminal event, it's very rare,
okay. Statistically.
And the other thing is interesting. I met someone who was in Dayton when the police responded within 36 seconds to the serial killer who went in the bar. And they had actually done intensive problem solving. They looked at patterns. They were actually looking at fights in that bar. They weren't there because of a serial killer, but they were right there and killed a guy in 36 seconds, probably prevented over 40 deaths.
Mm.
So, you know, and that's kind of a hint, you know, that really to use your crime mapping and your problem solving and analytic CONSTAT, crime statistic analysis, which works, and figure out sort of get one move ahead of the burglars. You know, again, with the liquor of the pharmacy example, same thing. What are the targets? How do we get there? How do we intensively surveil them prior to an event occurring? And that's when you get a victory like was true in Daytona.
Let me jump in real quick and ask you, so is there, because if you're talking about people smashing in windows, is there anything that people can do to stay safe? And I'll continue to ask you this every time you come on, or to keep their cars safe. If you can smash a window and just grab what you want, short of keeping it in a garage, is there anything you can do?
Well, I think one thing is don't put a lot of bling in your car. You know, whether it's gun bling or cell phone bling, don't put your iPhone in the car. Leave it in there, charge it or whatever. You know, de-bling your car is sort of one hint. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pretty shrewd with that. The second thing is, you know, in the short run, get a garage. You know, but the reality, but it's not realistic to wait for randomized patrol fixed patrol to interdict this kind of pattern. Problem-solving policing, I think, can do better. And that's something we need to revive.
We'll address it next time we're out of time. I appreciate your time, as always.
Loved it. Always love it.
Thank you, sir. Peter Scharf, adjunct professor
at LSU.
Thank you, sir, at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health. And I can guarantee you that people that heard Peter just now say that if you want to keep your stuff safe, maybe you should buy or build a garage. He's not out there breaking into cars. Understand that. So don't get mad at him. I guess what he's just saying is the kind of thing, other than leaving valuables in your car or having some kind of neighborhood watch actively walking around the neighborhood. You know, if they can smash your window, nobody hears it, be in and out in a couple of minutes. I don't know what you do short of keeping a car in a garage. 8:52, 8 until 9, time now for traffic on WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.